know, I went to college for engineering and math, and so I pretty much get along with the college way of thinking, the mindset of the college, except for most of them are not saved. Most college-educated people that I've talked to don't really see the spirit side of life. If they do, it's some kind of esoteric New Age junk. And so the God evidently is saving the weaker things, the weaker vessels. God uses the weak things to confound the wise. The people who go to college, there are saved people who go to college, don't get me wrong. But the ones that I hung around, the engineering and the certain business people, and they just were not spiritual at all. Now, they might have gotten spiritual after they graduated and all, but even doing rides here, I'm in another city. I dropped off a nurse, and I don't know what the other guy was graduated out of, but the college people that I talk to doing rideshare, they're just not spiritual at all. Most people, I guess, are not spiritual. There comes a point in your life, the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. I would think that you would get to that point. If you're not there yet, hopefully you'll get there. The spirit realm is more real than the natural, because when you look out at the natural, what do you see? I'm in another city. What do I see? I see trees, I see dirt, I see concrete, I see a building, I see some lights, I see some, all I see is the same stuff. If I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. If I went to Raleigh, North Carolina, it'd be the same stuff. The same businesses, the same conversations, and there's no new conversation either. People, after you do this for about 8 years, people, just, you already know pretty much the conversation when it starts. You try to get somebody to give you some new stuff, but it just is not new. You try to learn some new stuff, but there's just nothing new. And there's no new personality. What I found is almost every personality that you meet is just a copy of another one. And this is why it's so sad. And this is why the spiritual is more important. It's so sad that people are just focused on the natural. I promise you, I've talked to many people, even outside of rideshare, I talked to a lot of people. And I promise you, the same kind of people show up on the scene. The industry that I chose to be in, for some reason, I don't know why, I meet a lot of people, I see a lot of people, and the same conversations, the same personalities repeat. If I was to say, how many different kind of people are there? How many different kind of personalities? I could say it's probably less than 50. It's less than 50. Usually if they're a drinker, they all start to act the same. If they're a smoker, they act the same. If they're homeless, they act the same. It's like there's only like 50 different personalities. In each class of person, if you want to call it a class, they have a few different kind of personalities. Some are positive, some are negative. I need to sit down and write down all the different personalities that I've met, and it's got to be less than 50. The same repeat happens. And so if the same repeat happens at different jobs in different cities, it's just a storyline repeating. While I was down here, I picked up a few runs. I picked up this guy who was working at Amazon. He was 50 years old, and I said, are you going to settle in Charlotte? He said, nah, COVID messed me up. He's still not settled in his place. And we all could be plucked up at any moment, I guess. But the guy was nice. we had a good conversation, but he still had that personality of being a transient. The mindset of a transient. Not that he was, he's a hard worker. He was respectable, very respectable, but he still had the mindset of a transient. They don't settle down. It's like a gypsy, you know, the mindset of a gypsy. They're just not settled anywhere. If you can settle down in a spot and really start to focus on your spirit, your soul, and your body, and just kind of get in tune with what's real, the unseen realm is real. Get in tune with the real world, which is the unseen, and line up with the unseen truths, the archetypes, the patterns in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. If you can get in tune with what's real, you'll start to see past this place. And if you're really saved, God is doing that to you. He's trying to cut you out of this place. I mean, it's really such a transition. It's such a whole different worldview right now from my perspective, what I used to think. It's just a different person. This place is temporary. This place is a repeat. It's a simulation, I promise you. It's right in front of you. Open your eyes. If there's trees in this city, there's trees in it's the same clay. There's nothing, you know, you might think, well, somebody's going to invent something new. There's something new on the horizon. No, there's not. It's just going to keep repeating. The politics, you might say, well, there's going to be some kind of new political movement. No, it's not. If it does change, it'll be communism or socialism or whatever. It's the same stuff. It just keeps repeating. It might be more global, but each nation, even the global nations are going to fight each other just like they've always done. There's always going to be conflict down here. You know, I know it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but the only way it's going to happen is, the only way there's going to be peace on earth for 1,000 years is when Jesus rules for 1,000 years. You can have peace individually amongst a bunch of chaos, but you've got to set those boundaries. You've got to have an effort. You got to keep a... You got to be in a really strong, focused effort to keep things in the peaceful state. Because if you're not focused on it, it can get out of hand really fast. Especially if you let somebody in your world who's a narcissistic psychopath, things can go awry really fast. And they don't care. Because usually they're transients and they don't care. They don't care if they destroy your world, because their world is already destroyed. They'll bring you down if you let them. But if you look around you, it's the same trees, the same dirt, the same sky. I'm in one city, the sky's going to be blue in this other city. Rain, sleet, snow, same stuff, same old stuff, people. The same concrete. We went downtown. I dropped them off at some kind of baseball game or something. Some kind of field game. I don't know what it was. Didn't even ask them. All those concrete buildings down there. Yeah, they were new buildings, but they were still just concrete. You think there's going to be something new. It might be new to you, but it's already been. If you have a revelation, if God reveals something to you, see, that's really why you're here. For God to reveal the truth to you wherever you're at. And so the revelation is a revelation to you. It's a revealing to you. It's already been. That's what the book of Revelation is telling you, that it's a revealing of Jesus to the whole world. And when the whole world sees Jesus, they're going to be like, what? Their whole life, they've been struggling and striving and fighting for something that wasn't even real. When the whole purpose of being here is to find Jesus, to find God, to find the truth. And so they can struggle and fight all they want to build buildings and get jobs and careers and get 2 or 3, 4 or 5 incomes and income streams and to make a million and do this and go here and travel here. But the whole purpose of travel is to point back to the travailing in you. The outward travel is a mirror image of the inner travail. Travel means travail. Same word. So the inner travailing is your real travel. It's the same exact word. Travel and travail are the same exact word. And it goes back to birthing until Christ be formed in you. And so God is revealing the truth until Christ be formed in you. And that's what the revelation is, to reveal that it's all about Jesus. And so every person who has a personality is per the Son. So you might think your personality is unique. You are a unique person, but your personality is not unique. There's people like you out there. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. From rideshare to hospitality to apartment maintenance to conversations with 10,000 subscribers, I know what I'm talking about. There's no new personality. There's no new thought. There's no new conversation. It's already been said. If it's a revelation to you, praise God, but it's already been said. If you read the book of Proverbs, and you read the book of Psalms and Isaiah's, and then you go listen to Sad Guru, it's already written. Sad Guru has nothing new. These magicians have nothing new. The magicians in Egypt were already the first magicians, the magi's, they follow the star. Yeah? The magi's would come look for Jesus because they saw a star. We saw the star, where is he? Should be right here, you know? Magi, magic, M-A-G-I, add a C, is just magic. It's unseen realm, seeing the unseen, understanding the unseen, focused on the spiritual. And so when you start to focus on the spiritual, the natural realm has to abort you and kick you out and call you crazy. That's why if I say, if you focus on the archetypes, if you focus on the patterns from above and the archetypes from above, then you see past time and you step outside of time because it's already been. What has been shall be, what shall be has been. That's why it's easy to fast. You know that most of the time when you're hungry, you're not really hungry, it's just a habit. And then when you really understand that the snake eating itself just brings death, but when you eat from that eternal life, that brings real life. So it's easy to fast, because if you're meditating on the eternal truths, it's easy to fast. You know what I mean? Thinking about food. You're not thinking about the natural realm. You're doing your stuff. I'm not saying you sit in a corner and fast 14 days. You still work. You still clean your house. You still work in the yard. You still do whatever you need to do. But you're not thinking about food. You're thinking about, even as you're working, you're thinking about something spiritual. And if you got a job where you can't use your mind to think about spiritual, and it's that much stress, I would suggest maybe getting another job. If your job is causing stress, which causes cortisol, it's making you old. It's killing you. Creating inflammation. Inflammation makes you sick. Messes you up. Cortisol stress is your worst enemy. Somebody did a study on the human body, and they said, even though this person wasn't eating these vitamins were produced by the human body by some force. They were shocked. They said they're going to do more studies, but whatever study this was, they said the body created its own vitamins. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you have pain right now, I don't care if it's neuropathy, I don't care if it's those phantom pains, I don't care if it's what it is, I promise you, if you cut back sugar, it'll probably go away. It'll most likely go away. If you eat some omega-3s and cut back sugar, your pain will just go away. If you get some coconut oil, extra virgin olive oil, you'll be strong. Strong as an ox, no matter what age you are. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that tells you the word is what sustains you. If the word is what sustains you, and life and death in the power of the tongue, then the words that you speak need to be words of life and not words of death. Words are powerful. Words are outside of space-time. How come I can speak on this phone, and if you were sitting right beside me, it would sound the same? And you might be on the other side of the world, but it still sounds the same. How is that possible? How can you call somebody on the telephone and they're on the other side of the world in a different time zone, and you're talking in real time? There's your teleportation right there. There's your, if you just break that down into parts, you're going to learn some deep spiritual too. If you take the phone line from where you're at, and you take the phone line from the other side, and you just start unfolding those words, telephone, phonics, what do you have to do? You have to dial it. D-I-A-L. Die. A-L means like. And you take the wires. And if it's wireless, it still has the word wire in it. You take the wire, the word wire, unfold it. You take the microphone. You take the speaker. You take all the different devices and break them down, and you're going to find some deep truths via the words. You could do a thought experiment. I'm sure you could do a thought experiment and see some deep object lessons in that. And you might say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, how is it possible that you can get on the phone and on the other side of the world, you can have a real-time conversation even though in a different time zone? Because that tells you time doesn't exist right there. They're in a different time zone, but you're in real-time conversation over a telephone or an internet or whatever. It tells you time doesn't exist. How can you cross time zones via phone call? It means time don't exist to the word, to the spirit, to the phonics. if somebody takes a picture and sends it over their phone from the other side of the world, that picture turns it into binary code, right? Pixels. Stores it in a database somewhere. And then you hit send, and the binary code goes over the phone line, and this is all happening really fast. Even though they're on the other side of the world, you can have real-time images show up. From a different time zone. That ought to make people just really start to seek the truth right there. How can you have a real-time conversation when somebody's in a different time zone? If it's real-time, that means you're speaking in the same time. How is that possible when you're in a different time zone? And if that's possible, that means teleportation is possible. If that's possible, that means you're outside of time. There's a reason for time. And then you say, well, if I'm outside of time, but it feels like I'm in time, what's the purpose of feeling like there's time? You ask that question, and you unfold it, you'll realize time is just an instant message from the Spirit about the cross. So everything's preaching Jesus at every moment, but what's happening is most people are not ready for that. So the revelation is right in front of them all the time. Everybody's in the now, and the revelation of Jesus is in front of everybody everywhere all the time. It's not only in front of them, it's encoded in their body. So the revelation of Jesus is right there in front of you, wherever you're at, right now, in 5 minutes from now, 10 minutes, because every moment is a now. Jesus is being revealed everywhere, but you can't see it because you're in the flesh mind, so what's the purpose of time? Time is preaching Jesus every moment of every day because Jesus is outside of time, but you're inside time, in your flesh mind, so the revelation of Jesus, you're getting little glimpses of it here and there. So here's what's happening inside time. It's kind of like a flash of light. You'll have this thought. Let's say you're just completely lost and undone. Somebody will mention the name Jesus somewhere, or you'll even say the name Jesus as a curse word. And somebody says, "Why do you say Jesus if you don't believe in Jesus?" And they can't even answer that. They're like shocked. Why do you call out to Jesus, but you don't believe in Jesus every time something bad happens? And they don't even know how to answer that. So these little sparks of light, sparks of truth, are hitting you to try to draw you to Jesus. And then even when they get saved, there's still more revelation to be given to that person. Because it's a revealing. So you realize, you start to get these little flashes in your mind. Oh, that's about Jesus. Oh, the chromosomes point to Jesus. Oh, the math points to Jesus. Oh, the physics points to Jesus. Oh, my job punching a clock points to Jesus. And all these little instances over time, and if you meditate on them, you'll say it. And then you really meditate on this truth. Eventually what happens is, over enough time, you'll start to see everything points to Jesus. Because he's holding it up. By him all things consist. By him God created all things. And so the tires that are rotating, your fingernail, your hand, your marriage, your shoes, your hat, your glasses, your sunglasses, everything points to Jesus and what Jesus did at the cross. And when you get to that revelation, then you say, well, wait a minute, well, what is the purpose? The only conclusion that you can come to is it's a worship service. The only conclusion you can come to that is that it's a worship service. And what does that mean? Your reason, take up your cross It's your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Improve what is acceptable. Prove it. Test it. Try it. Turn it over in your mind. Think about it. Prove what is right and acceptable and honorable. And in agape love, peace. Prove it. Test it. Test yourself to see if you're in it. Try the spirits and try yourself. Test yourself. See whether you be in the faith. And so if it's a worship service, then what are you doing down here? You're serving one another. You're a foot washer. And it might not be washing feet, but it might be on your job. It might be, it could be whatever. Service. It's a worship service. So what is your worship service? Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Give back what he already gave you. You can only give back what he gave you, right? If God gave you the gift of whatever, you can only give that gift back. It's really just giving back what he gave you. That's all. If he gave you the gift to be a shoe salesman and you are really good at it and you help people, then you give back by doing that really well. Focused on that. It's all a service. Thank you for your service, they say at the restaurant. If somebody says thank you, they're thinking back to the cross. They might not know it, but that's what they're doing. If somebody has a thankful spirit, that means that they're really appreciative of what other people do. If somebody's saying thank you all the time, that's probably a pretty good person. Or at least they're headed that way. They're headed in the right direction, for sure. I hope I get back home soon. I'm tired of being on this highway. I wish I knew how to teleport, I'd do it. I think I have teleported before, though, because I was really meditating on how to teleport for 6 months there. And I took this lady from A&T to about out in the country. And she wasn't talking, right? She wasn't even talking hardly at all. It was late at night. I don't blame her. And so I was thinking about teleportation while she was sitting in the back seat just doing her thing. And I was going to cross the highway. And the next thing I know, I was across the highway. I asked her, I said, "Did you see that?" She said, "What?" I said, "We were on the other side of the highway, and now we're over here." She looked at me kind. She didn't say much. I think she thought I was crazy. I said, "We just jumped the highway. Did you see that? Or was I imagining that?" So if there is teleportation, then it's got to be orderly. It's got to be no confusion and no... God is a God of peace and order. There has to be no confusion in it. So if you are going to teleport, that means you're skipping the storyline. But the storyline happens around you, so other people are just going through the storyline. But you teleport and you skip along the storyline. But in their mind, the storyline was just the same. time was just the same. So I think this is how longevity works as well. I think once you focused on the spirit realm so much, you kind of leave time, even though you're out, even though you're in it, you're out of it, and it's like skipping, you know, skipping a rock over a lake. You just kind of skip some things, and it's like your mind is like, you just skip time, you know. Other people experience it in a linear fashion, but you're just skipping it. And it's like, did you see that? And they say, no. That happened to me last week. I told somebody, I said, you heard our conversation, right? And then this person walked up and said the exact same thing. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And she missed it. She didn't even understand what I was saying. I said, did you see that? She acted like she said, yeah, but she didn't know what I was talking about. She couldn't repeat back what I meant. Skipping time. You're so focused on the spirit realm, you're still functioning down here, but your mind is set above. You're not stressed with this place. You're not worried about this place. You know this is just an act. It's just a sanctification process, really, is what it is. And so you're focused above, and before you know it, you've skipped time. And that, like when I went to took this lady to Charlotte just now, we talked pretty much the whole time. The first few miles, we didn't talk. It felt like it's going to take forever. So we started talking. We talked pretty much the whole ride. And before you know it, you look at the clock, and it's an hour and a half drive. And before you know it, it's only 10 minutes left on the drive, 5 minutes left. It's like time flew because we were talking, communicating, communion. And so there's your teleportation. We actually had an hour and a half drive, but it didn't seem like that long because we were talking. We were communicating. So it's almost as if we teleported because we weren't thinking about the drive. We were thinking about the conversation. Together, turn. Conversation. Converse. Together, turn. And so time no longer mattered. It wasn't about time, it was about the conversation. So the focus went off of time, and it's almost as if we teleported. Seriously. I really don't know where the time went. Even though we were on two different world views, we still had a conversation. I tried to find a common denominator with her, and time flew by. But if you really focus on time and the travel and the travail, it's very monotonous and it takes forever. That's like when you're ready to punch out of work, the last 5 minutes take forever, right? Somebody told me that, though. They said, I was in the drive-thru, and the guy said, I got five more minutes. He says, it seems like the last 5 minutes take the longest. I said, I'll tell you how, it goes by really fast. He said, how? I said, go get you a dustpan and a broom and sweep up for 5 minutes, and it'll be gone before you know it. I promise you it will. When you're focused on a task or a job or a goal or whatever it is, time flies because you're not focused on time. You're focused on something outside of time, a goal, a dream, conversation, a concept. You're in the zone. What do they say in basketball? When somebody gets in the zone, they just keep hitting everything. So if you really want to experience teleportation, you can do this every day, to be honest with you. Just be so far, so into the zone that you're not worried about time. You're just focused on what your task is or your goal. And before you know it, 1 or 2 hours go by, and you're like, what happened to time? Time is only monotonous when you focus on it.
time is only monotonous when you can't sleep.
Right.
Time is only monotonous when you're waiting for your wound to heal.
Let's say it could be a physical, a cut, it could be an emotional wound, it could be a spiritual.
Time only matters when you focus on something that depends on time. In other words, you had a breakup. How do I get over this person?
Go do something. Focus on something else.
And in about 2-3 weeks, you'll be saying, thank God they are gone. Thank God they left the script. Thank God they left off the, what is it, when they do a play on top, on the, they do a play or a scene on the platform, one of the stage. Thank God they stepped off the stage. That's all it is. They appeared on the stage for a season and they stepped off. If it's a good actor, you want them to stay around. If it's a bad actor, you want them to step off the stage as fast as possible. It's all a stage. Stage is age. STH, whatever age you're in, there's a stage for that age. And ST is the snake on the cross. So God is integrating you back through the cross and through the ages of time, whoever you are. Doesn't matter what year you're in. Doesn't matter if you're in the 1800s, 1700s, 1900s, 2000s, 2200s. Doesn't matter what age you're in, the stage is still the same. And so if you get a new revelation, what does that mean? The age really didn't change. It's just the inner man changed. If you're focused on getting old, you're going to get old faster. If you're focused on staying young, you're going to stay young, even when you're old. There's a 90-year-old lady doing push-ups I saw on YouTube or somewhere. I don't even know how many more miles I have left. I'm gonna cut this off now just to see, and I bet because I've been talking for 38 minutes, I bet it's like I'm gonna be shocked at how much time I have left, because I don't even remember when I started talking. It's an hour and a half ride, so I don't know if I started 30 minutes into it or 5 minutes into it. I don't know, but I'm sure I'll be shocked. Because my mind is focused on something outside of this drive. This hour and a half drive, I'm not focused on. I'm focused on these thoughts that are bombarding my spirit mind. And so if I'm thinking above time, time is going to fly by. You can teleport just by staying in the zone, whatever it is. Doesn't matter what it is. You want to teleport through time? You want the monotony of your work to go by faster? Stay busy. Find something you enjoy. Do that. Focus on the task at hand. Don't get distracted. Set your affections above. If you really, like, let's say there's somebody out there in a lonely place. You know, there's probably a lot of people out there lonely. If you're lonely, just say something like this. Say, Lord, I'm lonely. I want to get rid of this. And that's what he's going to answer that prayer, because it's all about communion and communication. So then he's going to start to open your mind to the spirit realm. Or he's going to send somebody to your world. Or he's going to put you in a situation where you will be begging. He might put you in a situation you say, Lord, I want to be lonely. I want to be by myself. Because some people can't be by themselves. And if he puts you in enough chaos, you'll be saying, Lord, I want to be, but you'll be begging to be by yourself again. You'll be begging for it. Whatever state you're in, learn to be content therewith. And so that's the secret. And if you're not content, say, Lord, why am I not content in this state that you put me in, that I put myself in, or that I'm in for whatever reason? He'll teach you how to be content. The secret is affections above, though, I promise you. And the other secret is service. If you're lonely, do some rides here. You won't be lonely. You'll be glad to get back home, get away from craziness. Get you a part-time job. You'll be glad to be by yourself. Loneliness is not really a thing. It's just a mind game that you played on yourself. Because if you're saved, God is always with you. You're never alone. If God does put loneliness on you, there might be a reason that if you're at the age of marriage and you want to get married. But I promise you, there's a lot of people married who are more lonely than you are. There's a lot of people who are married, and I'm thinking about one right now that I can tell by their body language they seem to be lonely, even though they're married. There's a lot of people who are more lonely as a married person than they are single. That's sad. That's really sad. And I know that's the fact. I know that's 100% true. You think you marry that person and they're going to meet all your needs and fulfill all your dreams, and you realize only Jesus can do that. And a lot of stuff you have to do yourself. You have to become a better person. Maybe you're lonely because you're not willing to serve people or talk to people or listen to people. Yeah, people say some stupid stuff, but you got to learn to be a minister, to listen to those people that are going through. Maybe it's something stupid that they're going through that you've already been through. It's like, to you it's stupid, but you learn to listen, because to them it's big time stuff, you know. It's major, but to you it's minor. A lot of them are talking to you, they're lonely and they're just wanting to talk, wanting to vent. You listen. And over time, as a listening ear, they learn that, hey, they're not crazy after all. They're not really any different than anybody else. Here's the secret to ministry. Most people are looking for an identity. Most people are lonely. Most people are sad or depressed. Most people are trying to figure out how to get out of their circumstance or their situation or their emotional thing or their trauma. And so the best way to deal with that is just listen. Just listen. Because they got to figure it out. You can't be Jesus for anybody, but you can listen and say, yeah, I knew somebody went through that. Yeah, I went through that. Yeah, I don't know anybody went through it, but I'm sure you'll make it through. I know that the Bible talks about that. There's always a verse about what you're going through. If you're going through something, there's a Bible verse for you. There's a Bible story for you. And if it's not a Bible story, it's some script writer had wrote a story about somebody who's gone through it. Everything that a script writer writes is about the human condition. And the human condition is, think about all the people traveling and spending money that they don't need to spend and doing this. A lot of it's just because they're lonely, or they're looking for their identity, or they're trying to find something outside them, something outside their monotonous life. It's monotony. It's monotonous. If you were a trillionaire and you could fly to the beach, fly to all these different beaches every weekend or every week or every month and stay a month, how fast would that get boring? Really fast. Because you could fly to any beach and you'd sit there on the beach and say, this is so boring. I've flown to 20 beaches and they all look the same. You would really get tired. The sun. If you, let's say you were so rich that you could live where 70 degrees, just fly over there and live there where it's 70 degrees all the time. So you'd buy a house in different parts of the world and you'd just live where it's 70 degrees all the time. And that's where you'd stay until it got cold and you'd fly somewhere else stay. How boring would that get? You'd finally just sell all those houses and pick one place and stay there, and no matter if it's cold or hot, you'd just stay there. Because you'd want that place to be settled in. You would want to identify with one place, it would seem like, because I promise you the traveling life is really, really not a healthy life. Your body needs a routine. Your human body needs a routine. And you need time to meditate. All these people who are online who say, I traveled and I did this, they all eventually settle down somewhere. The military people who travel all over the world, they eventually settle down to their own little spot. You see it in the movies. Picard, he settled down and created his own little vineyard or whatever. He settled down. All right, let me see where I'm at. And I don't know if it helps anybody me doing these videos. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't even know what I was talking about. I was trying to grab something, the significance. Oh, the revelation. Oh, so yeah, the revelation is what this is all about. So no matter where you're at, what you're doing, Jesus can be revealed to you more and more as the day approaches. You can see more about Jesus in all things and know that it's a worship service. That's pretty much what I was trying to get to. No matter what you're in, where you're at, doesn't matter if it's a divorce, doesn't matter if it's a death in the family, doesn't matter what it is, sickness, health, whatever, you can see Jesus in all things. And then that's when the true teleportation happens, because you're really outside of time anyway, because you're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. And so you realize it's just a worship service. No matter where you're at, no matter what city you're in, you're the same person. I mean, I'm the same personality no matter what city I go to. And so I can go to a Subway restaurant in Charlotte or Raleigh, whatever. It's the same. It's like, hey, behind the counter, see that red? That points to the blood. See the green? That's Cain. I'm the same person. And you are too, unless you're trying to run from it. But the revelation of Jesus is what this is all about. That's why it's called the Book of Revelation. Genesis is representing the fact that God is revealing Jesus to the whole world, but it takes seven dispensations for God to show mankind that he's a royal failure, but Jesus is his escape velocity out of this place. Jesus is the escape velocity. Jesus is the escape. And that revelation might take you 80 years, it might take you 20 years, it might take you 40 years. But that's the revelation that every human being has to face off with. And if you're not there yet, you will be. And if you're not there in this life, you're going to be revealed. It's going to be revealed to you at the great white throne judgment, because it's all about revealing Jesus to the whole world. That's what this whole thing is about. And man, and all these New World Order leaders, all these leaders, so-called, who are trying to bring in a utopia without Jesus, they're gonna be totally shocked when Jesus shows up on the scene, and they're gonna be running for the hills, trying to hide under every rock that they can find, but they can't hide. Nobody can hide. So if God is revealing Himself to you, no matter who you are, whether you're around a bunch of people, by yourself, whatever you're doing, if Jesus is being revealed to you, then you got everything. You've got it all.